Destinations Beyond Expectations is powered by Group Experience. Visit groupexperience.com right now to build your travel tribes. Hello and welcome into DBE. I'm your host, Stevie G. Destinations Beyond Expectations is the podcast designed for students of travel. You can find the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and really anywhere else podcasts are available. And be sure to follow the show not only on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, but also on Facebook and Instagram. If you like the show, you can help me out by giving it a 5-star review and also sharing it with anyone you know who loves the world of travel. Many people spend their vacation days on North Carolina's beaches, but head west of the beaches and you'll find beautiful mountain views and endless outdoor adventures. Joining me to talk about some of the great things to experience in Western North Carolina is Brianna from the Golden Hour Adventurer blog. Brianna shares more about the great outdoors in Western North Carolina, and we also talk a little bit about visiting the Biltmore Estate and what that's like for visitors. TheGoldenHourAdventurer.com is Brianna's website. I would highly recommend anyone out there listening to go check it out, and Brianna will talk a little more about it at the end of our conversation today. But let's go ahead and dive into all the amazing things to discover in Western North Carolina. Here's my chat with Brianna. Hello, Brianna. Welcome to Destinations Beyond Expectations. Thanks for joining me today. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's just a real honor to be here. Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat more about one of my favorite destinations on the East Coast.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have you on the show. And Brianna, I came across your 13 amazing things to do in Western North Carolina blog post. And I really enjoy reading it. You know, North Carolina is such a cool state in that you have the beach on one side and then mountains on the other side. Today's conversation is going to focus on the hilly western side of North Carolina, which has so many cool hikes and outdoor adventures for people to discover. Brianna, I want to ask you this. In your opinion, what is it about Western North Carolina that makes it such a special place to visit?
Well, like you just mentioned, I mean, if you're an outdoor enthusiast, it is like a true paradise to explore Western North Carolina. And it's home to one of the oldest mountain ranges on the earth, the Appalachian Mountains, which, you know, consist of the Blue Ridge Mountains and the Great Smoky Mountains. So there's like endless places to explore in nature. You can go hiking, camping, even the little small towns around the mountain range is just so charming and such a fun way to explore. And I mean, you just can't beat those sweeping mountain views, and the fall foliage during autumn is just amazing. And historical architecture and the cascading waterfalls just really make this area of the state a must-see.
And you kind of started off that answer by talking about how it's home to one of the oldest mountain ranges, you know, in the world. And two well-known mountains in Western North Carolina are Grandfather Mountain and Mount Mitchell. Can you describe those two mountains and talk about some of the hiking you can do around Mount Mitchell and Grandfather Mountain?
Yeah, so Mount Mitchell is, you know, located in Mount Mitchell State Park, and it's right off of the Blue Ridge Parkway. And what makes it super, super special is that it's the highest point east of the Mississippi River. So when you drive all the way to the top, you can just take a short walk. It's about half a mile round trip on a paved path to the summit's observation deck. And, you know, you can say you're standing on the tallest mountain on the East Coast. But of course, if you feel more adventurous, you can always start a more moderate trail from the state park office and follow Old Mitchell Trail, which is about 4 miles round trip to the summit and back. And the park is open year round, but during the winter, it can be pretty icy on the road conditions because of the elevation. And they do some random and prolonged closures. So definitely check the website before you head up there to make sure you have access to the park. There's no fees required for day use. And even if you don't want to hike the Old Mitchell Trail, you can spend all day hiking any one of the 40 miles worth of trails in the area. And at the summit, there's also a museum and gift shop as well as a seasonal restaurant. So it's a really fun place to visit. And then Grandfather Mountain, there is a fee actually to enter Grandfather Mountain Nature Park. And there's a lot more to do besides hiking there. You can walk the Mile High Swinging Bridge or visit the Wilson Center for Nature Discovery. They also have wildlife habitats, which have black bear and elk and otters. The otters are so cute. And you can also see the iconic film site, or like the curve in the road of Forrest running in the movie Forrest Gump. So yeah, there's so many neat things to see also at Grandfather Mountain. But of course, like I mentioned, they actually require a fee, unlike Mount Mitchell.
Very cool. And you know, if you are visiting North Carolina and you plan to do some hiking, as you know, Brianna, there are some cool opportunities to see some waterfalls. Your blog mentions a couple of your favorite waterfalls to check out on a hike. Can you maybe name some of those and, you know, describe what some of those waterfalls are like that someone can hike to?
Oh, sure thing. This is actually one of my favorite things to talk about. I mean, North Carolina, Western North Carolina is waterfall wonderland. And what I think makes it really special is it's not uncommon to see more than one on one hiking trail. And some of my favorite is the Deep Creek Waterfall Loop, which is in Great Smoky Mountains National Park. And you can see three waterfalls in one. You can see Tom Branch Falls and Indian Creek Falls and Juni Wank Falls. And although none of these are like really massive, it's just they're beautiful and it's so serene and peaceful. And there's also Rainbow Falls, Turtleback Falls, and Drift Falls at Gorges State Park in North Carolina. And Rainbow Falls, you can walk right up to it at just the right time of day, usually right at sunrise or right at sunset, and you can see a beautiful rainbow right at the base of the falls. And one of my other favorites is the Four Waterfalls Trail at DuPont State Recreational Forest, which features Hooker Falls, Triple Falls, High Falls, and Grassy Creek Falls. So, I mean, you just can't beat going on a trail and seeing, you know, various waterfalls. And of course, a must-see waterfall is Whitewater Falls, which is the highest waterfall east of the Rockies. And the overlook to access the viewpoint of Upper Falls, Upper Whitewater Falls, is actually a really easy trail. It's only half a mile round trip there and back. So definitely easy access for those who maybe don't love hiking as much, but you definitely get to see, like I said, the highest waterfall east of the Rockies.
Now, do some of these have like swimming areas at the bottom, or is it more so you kind of go there and take a picture of the falls?
There are lots of swimming opportunities. One of the ones I mentioned at Gorges State Park, Turtleback Falls. I know that in the summer, people love hiking to the top of that waterfall and just sliding down like you're on a water slide. So yeah, you can definitely swim in a lot of these different waterfalls. Obviously, summer is a better time or else it's going to be kind of chilly.
Well, as you mentioned in that answer, one of the great places that you can go to see a waterfall in North Carolina is at the most visited national park in the United States, which is the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. That's located in North Carolina and Tennessee. Can you talk about what it's like to, you know, beyond the waterfalls, you know, just explore the park and why someone might want to have the park on their list of things to do if they're visiting North Carolina?
Right. Like you said, it is the most visited national park in the U.S. So immediately for me, I'm like, wow, you know, I don't love hanging out with the crowds. I mean, the whole point of going out in nature is to kind of, you know, get a little peace. And I was very hesitant, actually, about visiting the park. I didn't think that I would enjoy it very much because of how crowded it could be. But really, I mean, if you know what time of year and what time of day to explore, I mean, it is perfect. It's like you're out in the middle of the wilderness and you get to enjoy lots of the trail, mostly to yourself. Definitely, you can escape the crowds by avoiding the northern entrance near Gatlinburg a little bit and explore more on the south end of the park, which is in North Carolina. And you can also try visiting like in the early or late hours of the day. And obviously weekends are usually way more busy than the weekday. But like you also mentioned, the park straddles the state line of Tennessee and North Carolina. And one of my favorite aspects of the park is the wildlife sightings. The elk rut, which is usually from mid-September to late October, is a really amazing thing to witness. There's an area in North Carolina called Cataloochee Valley. It's a little bit more remote than the rest of the national park, but it's definitely worth the dirt road, gravel road drive out there to see the elk rut. And the best time to view them is at sunrise or sunset. I will say we went at sunrise and sunset, and sunrise we saw tons of elk, but sunset not a peep. So I guess it definitely just depends on your luck when you're out there. But for us, sunrise was the lucky time. And then also another great area of Great Smoky Mountains is Cades Cove, although this area is in the Tennessee side of the park, but it's a great place to see black bears. And of course, you know, wildlife safety tips for the park is, you know, don't approach the animals. They may display aggressive territorial behaviors, and it is illegal to willfully approach the wildlife within 150 feet. So definitely if you come into contact with them, you know, give them space and don't interact with them. But it's definitely a great park to go and see wildlife, you know, in their natural habitat. And also to kind of escape the other crowds of the park and just enjoy what nature has to offer. It's free to enter Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which is kind of cool since most national parks have an entrance fee. But they have implemented a parking permit system over the past couple of years where if you park any longer than 15 minutes, then you have to have a parking permit. And you can obtain a parking tag online or on site. And there are different variations that you can choose from, a daily rate, a weekly or annual rate.
That's awesome. Brianna, do you have like a favorite time of year to visit Great Smoky Mountains or anything like, is there a time you recommend to go for listeners out there?
We have visited in the spring and the fall, and I'm just a sucker for the fall because I love all of the fall foliage and the colors. And of course, that's when the elk rut is, so that's really special. But spring was great too because the wildflowers are blooming and even the elk are calving. So you have a chance maybe to see little baby elk running around. So, and that's also where we saw the most bears was in the spring. So there's definitely plus and minuses to each season, but definitely the fall season is my favorite just simply because of the colors.
Yeah. And another thing that you can do any time of year, but fall might be a great time for it, is number 5 on your 13 amazing things to do in Western North Carolina blog, which is taking a scenic drive on the Blue Ridge Parkway. Can you tell the listeners more about what driving the Blue Ridge Parkway is like?
Oh yeah, definitely in the fall is my favorite to go on the Blue Ridge Parkway. It's a national parkway and it runs through the state of Virginia and North Carolina. It's just a great opportunity for people who maybe like hiking isn't your thing or camping isn't your thing, to get out there and see the rugged mountain landscape really up close and personal. And it's, you know, very handicap accessible as well. You can just pull right off into an overlook and just have absolutely amazing views. And you can hop off and on the parkway at various locations. And there are over 200 scenic overlooks along the drive. So it's just a beautiful place to kind of just immerse yourself in nature. Definitely something to keep in mind is in my favorite time of year, like I said, fall, to visit the Blue Ridge Parkway, it is busy. Everybody wants to see it too. So, and it's only a 2-lane road. So you definitely have to practice patience when driving the Blue Ridge Parkway in the fall because of the heavy traffic. Delays are common. Especially on the weekends. And it's definitely a good idea to check for road closures ahead of time as well, because even if whenever you get on the Blue Ridge Parkway, say, you know, near Asheville, you hop on and the weather's beautiful, But the further up you go in elevation along the drive, especially if you're there maybe in November, towards the end of the fall season, it's very possible that that road is iced over or is experiencing more intense weather than the lower elevation. So definitely check for road closures before you hit the parkway, especially like I mentioned in the fall and winter months.
And I'm sure you probably see a lot of photographers out there snapping shots, especially during the fall time when the leaves are changing and things like that, right?
Definitely. Oh yeah, they're everywhere. They're lining the road. And another reason why you have to drive a little slower when you're on the Blue Ridge Parkway at that time, because not only are there cars, there are people all along the road. So.
Well, we've talked about a lot of outdoorsy things to do in Western NC, but I want to switch gears and get your thoughts about visiting the Biltmore Estate. It's a huge estate and it's something you can tour, even though it's not necessarily a cheap ticket, I would say. But can you walk the listeners through what it's like to visit the Biltmore Estate? And do you have any tips on, you know, when might be the best time to visit or anything like that?
Definitely. Like you said, it's not a cheap ticket. It can range anywhere from $80 to, you know, $200 a ticket, depending on what kind of package you choose. And to be honest, I'm not much of a historical or city oriented person. I'm definitely more outdoor, but the Biltmore Estate is definitely something you don't want to miss. That was a truly memorable experience. And it's located just south of Asheville, super convenient to one of the most popular cities in Western North Carolina. And it's the largest home in America. So it's really a neat thing to check off of your list when you're in the area. And touring the home is not quick either. I remember when we started the tour, when we were done, I think it's a self-paced tour, so you can go as long as you like. And for us, we were in there for almost 3 hours. So it's definitely a lengthy process, but definitely don't miss out on going. And for me, the best time to visit, I'm going to talk about good old fall again, because I just can't get enough of fall in Western North Carolina. But it really is a magical time to visit, because if you show up to kind of like the middle or end of November, you still have a little bit of that fall foliage color. And also, Biltmore is decorating for Christmas, and they decorate outside and inside the grounds. And it is truly magical. It's like you're in a fairyland, and it definitely gets you into the holiday spirit when you're there. So it's kind of like you get two for one when you go. You have a little bit of the fall colors, and then you also have Christmas. So to me, middle and end of November is definitely biggest bang for your buck when you go and visit. Of course, throughout the year, the prices for the ticket fluctuates depending on, you know, when you go, especially even as far as weekday or weekends. And because there is Christmas and that's their most popular time of year, it is a little bit more expensive to visit in November and December. But what you get in your ticket when you go is not just a house tour. You also have access to the Biltmore Historical Gardens, which always has something in bloom, and also Antler Hill Village, which you can kind of peruse around, and there are restaurants to eat at. And also a complimentary wine tasting is included in your ticket. And you can go visit the Biltmore Winery and see the wine cellar and enjoy your wine tasting. So it's an overall really luxurious experience. And you can even spread it out across, you know, 2 days if you book the ticket just right. So that's what we did whenever we visited in November. And we got the opportunity to visit in the evening the first day, and then all day the second day. And definitely for some tips when visiting the Biltmore, I would suggest definitely bring comfy clothes. There's lots of walking. And also if you're outside during the day, it's going to be hot. So, you know, have sunscreen, maybe an umbrella or a hat. And then inside, definitely like the comfy shoes, because you're going up and down lots of stairs. And there's also no public restrooms inside the Biltmore House. So before you go start your 3 hour tour, which is how long it took us, make sure you visit the restroom before you head in. But other than that, I mean, it's definitely worth your time, worth the money to visit at least once.
I love it. Great tips. And let's kind of switch gears and talk about the Golden Hour Adventure. That is, of course, your blog, Brianna. I enjoyed reading your 13 Amazing Things to Do in Western North Carolina article. And there's so much more that listeners on today's podcast can discover on your blog, from road trips to national parks and beyond. Brianna, can you take a second to talk about the Golden Hour Adventurer blog, kind of how it came to be and why you started it? And can you tell the listeners more about what they can discover on your blog?
Yeah, so it all started with a national park road trip that my husband and I took for our anniversary in 2016. And we were just hooked after that. We couldn't get enough of seeing national parks and road tripping. And our other favorite thing we love is trying unique foods and different restaurants, of course, hiking and even snorkeling. We really love all of the ocean activities as well. So I created the Golden Hour Adventurer blog in 2019 after we lost our one and only pregnancy. And in memory of our little one, I was ready to start a new chapter of my life. And I wanted to really embrace these things that we've come to love and share them with others. I wanted to inspire everyday people to get outside, explore a new town, try a new food, you know. And I wanted them to see that you don't need fancy hiking gear or tons of extra money or credit card points or weeks off of work to explore the world. Like, you just have to have that time and dedication to make that happen. And luckily for us, because of my husband's job, we've lived in Texas, Hawaii, Georgia over the past 5 years, and we've really enjoyed exploring the different parts of our country and just diving deeper into what makes those areas unique. And on my blog, you'll find lots of detailed weekend guides, itineraries, checklists, and budget travel tips for all of those states and even some international destinations. And there's always more to come. So,
love it. Yeah, listeners, definitely go check it out. It's the Golden Hour Adventurer. Great stuff that you're doing with that, Brianna. And can you tell us where to stay connected with the Golden Hour Adventurer on social media?
Well, I'm not going to lie, Stevie, I'm the worst at social media. Just call me Grammy. But I do love to engage with my audience and connect with other travel and outdoor enthusiasts on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest. And all you have to do is type in the Golden Hour Adventurer to find me there.
Well, it's been such a great conversation today. And I have just one more question before you go. Brianna, Destinations Beyond Expectations is the podcast designed for students of travel. And I'd like to ask you, would you consider yourself to be a student of travel? And if so, can you talk about a lesson or something you've learned because of or through travel?
I guess I would say one of the things that I really have learned as a student of travel is that maybe not every destination that you've heard about or read about is the highlight of the state or country or area that you're visiting. For example, we lived in Oahu for a while, and of course, everybody knows about Honolulu or Waikiki, even the North Shore. Those are all very prominent areas, but the rest of the island is just as beautiful, if not more so, than these really touristy areas. And so as a student of travel, one of the things that I've learned is that just because you've heard of it or it's popular doesn't necessarily mean it's the best representation of the area when you visit. So definitely take some time to explore the neighboring communities, small towns that are maybe around the area that's very popular, and you might even get a better experience than you were hoping whenever you went to visit that place.
I love that answer, because I think, like, the touristy, well-known areas, they're fine, they're great, but they come with expectations. And a lot of times these hidden gems don't have those expectations as closely, you know, tied to them. So you'll have, you know, one of a kind experiences that you might not have expected in these maybe lesser known places. So I totally agree with that answer. I thought it was so well said. Brianna, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today. I truly enjoyed talking about the amazing things visitors can do in the western part of North Carolina. Thank you so much again for taking the time to do this.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me and letting me be a contributor to Destinations Beyond Expectations. I really appreciate it.
A big DBE thank you to Brianna. Go check out her blog, and in the show notes, I've got links to her Western North Carolina blog and where to stay connected with the Golden Hour Adventurer on social media. If you like Destinations Beyond Expectations, please do give the show 5 stars and a follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Well, that's a wrap for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening about some of the great things for visitors to discover in Western North Carolina. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will talk to you soon.